Major announcement.
Welcome everyone to another episode of Plausible Deniability, our 20th, and as we're about to tell you, last episode.
What are you talking about? Our last episode.
So
this is shocking.
That faux surprise is courtesy of David Miller, who is initiating the the murder of Plausible
Deniability. That is a lie. That is a lie, sir. That is a lie. I am totally happy to keep this award-winning podcast going. This sponsored podcast.
He is toweling off the sweat from having danced on the chalk outline of Plausible Deniability for the last 30 minutes. No, really, we actually just finished what we thought was our last episode, but
so really,
I forgot to hit record.
So really, this is 21 right here. This is 21 right here. Listen, that it's the lost episode, right? So it's like people never heard it, but we did it. It's the lost episode. It was probably, guys, listen, it was the greatest episode you would have fallen in love with this episode. And I'm sorry that you don't get to hear what happened. I apologize for my compadre's lack of foresight in actually hitting record, because you would have fallen in love with it. Everybody would have been showering us with demands to stay on the air.
And this level of technical acumen and expertise is what you are bringing with you to your new professional real estate investing podcast. For some reason, you feel that the guy that can't remember to hit record is the guy that you want running the board on your podcast.
Listen, one, you have recording equipment. Two, you've got editing equipment. Three, you're willing to do it cheap. So,
yeah. Is that what you mean by free? Yeah. Cheap implies there's at least something
Listen, I'm going to tell you right now, what I'm going to give you in knowledge is going to be
well worth
your
time. Do I get points on the back end, Millerman?
Well worth your time. You're going to learn so much in our podcast that's going to help you grow healthy, wealthy, and wise. How about that? What do you think about that?
I like the sound of it, but I'd still be interested in some back end points.
God, you're so greedy. You're just so greedy. I mean, you know what?
How about
ask me? Ask me when we get to 20 episodes.
How about we negotiate where I get 1% from every flip moving like it.
How about no?
All right.
It was worth a shot. But what I will tell you is, talk to me after 20 episodes. Let's see where we stand.
Okay. If we have to,
I guess 21. You got to get me to 21 episodes, right? I mean, listen, I didn't get credit for the episode that we just recorded, but damn it, we did it.
It's like the game you bowl before you start keeping score.
Yeah, those were always my best. Always.
Well, Junior always demands those.
To not have the score?
Well, because score gets kept automatically now. Bowling has advanced to the 21st century. But if he bowls poorly, it's always, well, this is just the practice game.
That's just practice.
But if he lights it up, you know.
Well, that one counted. Got it. Yeah, that makes sense. I would do that too. Let's be clear.
Understandable.
Well, yeah, listen, I mean, to the people that listen on a regular basis, again, which we can name. So Will, Jennifer, Lyle, Chandelin.
Why is your brother always the Doug, one you have the hardest time remembering? Doug, he is Doug. Your family, sir.
Doug, fake Uncle Doug. And I'm forgetting somebody else.
Melanie.
No, not Melanie.
Who actually is going to feature prominently in the new venture, being that she's your partner and realtor and whatnot.
She is a big partner. She is a big player in this. Yeah, for sure. She's going to have some things to contribute down the line. She is a licensed real estate agent, so I think she should be able to bring some insight into what we're doing. And I think to kind of give people an idea about what we're talking about doing here. So we're going to look at doing a weekly podcast, not just monthly. So if you like the dulcet tones of what Bob and I bring to this, join us every week, right? And I think it's going to be a little more concise, a little more focused. I think I've got a good idea about how I want this to go. I'm going to bring in a topic, start talking about it, and then give an opportunity for questions. Bob doesn't know anything about real estate investing. I think he would give you, am I correct here? I mean, you bought a couple of houses, maybe. That's about it. That's about the extent of your knowledge.
Bought several, but never concurrently.
Okay.
It's always been an owner-occupied situation.
Sure. Well, you know, my goal is to try to give you some knowledge. And really, it's going to be to try to expand the knowledge for a lot of people and talk about different things that you might not have ever considered. So if you've enjoyed the ride with Plausible Deniability, you're going to love the ride with Great Flippin' Pod. That's my sell.
That's a pretty good sell. That's a
good clip right there. Yeah, that's a good clip. I think you should pull that. Yeah, I mean, I think we've got a good way to do this. We can do it weekly. It's going to be short, 15, 20, maybe 30 minutes max, depending on any kind of guests that we have. And just a way to talk about this that I've gotten so interested in and what I'm going to be doing full time for now. It's hard to rehash again because Bob poked yeah, so, there earlier, but I guess I'm going to have to do this whole thing again.
Yeah, when we recorded last month, you were excited about this new venture and you thought, hey, at some point down the road, I may even pursue this as my primary gig, my sole source of income. And that down the road ended up being what, 2 days after we recorded?
Yeah, that's it. That's it, Bob. The end of the road at the job that I had worked for almost 4 years came to an abrupt stop 2 days after we recorded. I was laid off. And so when that happened, my wife and I sat there and talked about it, and I could have pursued another opportunity. There are other companies that I could have gone to work for, but what that would have done is meant that I was 1 foot in a W-2 job and 1 foot trying to do real estate investing. And honestly, I think I've got to give it a full shot. I've got to give it a real shot at doing what I've always thought I could do. I've learned a lot of things in the mortgage and finance industry over the last 17 years that I think I can put to good use and make money for my family, help others through this process. And that's the goal.
So it sounds like a bit of an altruistic venture, helping others and reaching out. And
this is not a joke. I want to pause for a second. This isn't a joke. I truly think that there is an effort or a level of service and servitude in this. And that will absolutely be one of the podcast topics, is how real estate investing can actually be an act of service. That's not a joke. I will have a podcast about that. I think it's real.
I think that's great. And I think to give people, you know, that you hear a lot of efforts like to show someone financial freedom. And, you know, you've got Dave Ramsey and those types of sure. individuals, but then there's also not schemes, but things it's like, well, you know, this is, we can, you know, Amway or whatever, but this actually is, there's legitimate sustainable potential with something like
that. Well, yeah. And what you're thinking of in your head there is what I could do for let's say you, right. Or another listener who's listening and wants to potentially make money. But in reality, what I'm talking about, and I'll just break it down for a second here. Think about what I want to do is flip houses, right? So take an eyesore of a house that somebody is struggling with, rehabbing it, fixing it up, making it into a better, livable, more enjoyable home for somebody, and being able to put that into the market and sell that at a reasonable price, at a market price. Okay. So now you've taken what has become an eyesore in the community and rehabbed that and made it to something where a family can now go and enjoy that. That's a level of service that I don't think gets talked about enough, right? The other thing is that when you hold real estate for rentals, you're now doing that same thing. You're taking eyesore of a property or problem properties off of somebody's hand, somebody that could be struggling financially and can no longer afford that property. We're helping them in that fashion. We're rehabbing that property and making it livable, making it safe, making it better for a family, and now putting them into a home that they can afford. That's something that is beneficial to the society as a whole, right? And increasing the betterment of that neighborhood. And that's things that get overlooked at times. And so we'll talk more about that in a future episode of Great Flippin' Pod. But that's a quick preview of how seriously I can take it, because I do. It's so fun. It's so helpful. I love money. I'm not stupid. I'm not saying that this is a nonprofit, right? I do want to make money. I do want to make as much money as I possibly can, but also have fun, help people, do good. So,
and the majority of the money gets reinvested in more properties, right?
Yeah. I mean, why not? Why not grow it? Take what I need to live on and take the rest and try to keep churning that butter.
Now, do you anticipate at least at first, for purposes of revenue streams, having some of these properties be ones that you own and rent to get some income coming in? Or is this going to be entirely you renovate it and it's a full flip, it's sold, it's someone else owns it now, and you reap the benefits of that sale?
So what you're talking about there is the difference between active income and passive income.
Yes,
so
passive is income, mailbox money, right?
Mailbox money, right. So active income is I take the house, I find a house, I find a motivated seller, I buy the house, I fix it up, I sell it and flip it. That's active money because I actively had to do something about it. I actively had to have the house renovated and sell it in order to make my money. And I get all of my money at one time. There's no ongoing money from that. That's active income. Now, passive income is what you're talking about, where you buy a property and you're renting it out and you're collecting the rent. And obviously your goal is to have more money coming in than is going out. So more money coming in is going to be cash flow. And your whole goal is to try to get as much cash flow as possible. The question, though, is, or what I'll tell you is this, and that's going to be an entire episode, the difference between active and passive income, things like that. But passive income, it takes time to build it up, right? Because in this case, if I take a rental property, after paying all the expenses, the mortgage, the insurance, the maintenance, the vacancy, you know, percentage, things like that, I may make 100, 150, 200 bucks a month. Well, that's not enough to live on. So now I'd have to have a lot of properties, and right, it takes time to grow that. So I need the active income of flipping to have money on that we can live on and afford to, you know, live life. And then I need to acquire those properties over time that I'm going to hold for a couple of reasons. Quick side peek. I'll tell you this, the cash flow is not the number one reason to have property.
Is it tax benefit?
It's going to be depreciation, the tax benefit, buddy.
The depreciation.
That's the number one reason. That's it. Appreciation and depreciation. Both of those are more important than the actual cash flow.
In my simple brain, I think of the active versus passive income that you're describing in this field being very much akin to the base and commission type of structure someone would have in, say, like a sales role, that if I was doing this full time, I feel like I'd need a combo platter of the active and the passive. That one alone wouldn't be as sustainable for whatever reason.
Right, exactly. And frankly, like I said, there are multiple ways to get income, both active and passive, in real estate investing. And you're never going to get rich having one source of income. So spoiler alert for anybody out there right now that's listening, and you're working a W-2 job and maybe you make good money. Yeah, okay. You're working a W-2 job.
I had my hand raised up until you said maybe you make good money.
Yeah.
Well, real quick there.
And that's the problem, right? And Bob, you and I have talked about this before. You're getting a little older. I don't know if you know that.
A little.
You're getting a little older. Well, I'm going to help you understand that there is a better way. And what if I told you that you didn't need any of your own money to start?
Continue.
Also, not a joke. I can show you how to acquire properties without any of your own money.
Auction? SBA? What are we talking here?
Package. Join us. Join us on Great Flippin' Pod to learn more about how to do that. Yeah,
there you go. That is a tease right there, ladies and gentlemen.
Let me just put it to you this way, Bob. I may not be paying you top dollar for your podcasting skills, but I'm going to be giving you so much knowledge, you're going to be paying me. How about that?
I feel like a crazy prospector. I'm mining all of these nuggets of valuable info.
I can't wait to talk about it. I think the good news is that you have no idea what I'm talking about, like almost none. And so the way that I can go and talk about it and then have you ask me questions, I think is going to be insightful for other listeners. And I think that that's a great way to get started.
I am what you call the audience surrogate.
That is correct.
Yes.
That is correct.
Not a plant.
No. You're not acting stupid. You're just stupid. So it works. It works well.
Yes. I don't have to play stupid, folks.
Yeah. It's going to be great.
Not an act.
I'm looking forward to it. Now, one thing that we did discuss in episode 20, and now that we're in episode 21, I feel like we should revisit. Bob, let me ask you, over our 21 episodes, over our 20 episodes, now being 21 here, what was your favorite episode? I'm going to go ahead and tell you mine. It was the lost episode. I mean, it was so great.
It's your dad.
It was so great.
My dad, Roy.
Yeah,
we were talking to that Lost episode, we peaked early. The first two episodes were our best episodes, and it's not even close. For whatever reason, you know what part of it is? I will fess up to this immediately. That second episode, I put so much effort into and was massively trying to engage on social media with all those dance halls and with that Restoration Society or whatever.
Yep.
And I thought, man, we're gonna get some attention with this. And man, the crickets could not have been louder. And I'm thinking, man, if you can't get the dance halls interested in the podcast about the dance hall, what the heck, man? So at that point, it was like, okay, maybe this is just kind of more for fun. We're just kind of goofing off, which we had a lot of fun. We really enjoyed it. But I think the first two episodes, I might have had a little more higher aspirations. And just at that point, it was like, yeah, this is going to be where we're having fun. And we did. We had a lot of fun.
We did. We had fun. We're having fun here, no? And, you know, it's a sad thing. It's a tough thing, pal. That we're having to.
In reality, we probably could continue. I will fess up and admit that my proposal, when David said, you know, he wants to do this, the Real Estate Great Flipping Day once a week, that we transition from doing this to doing that. That would just, for me, that's biting off a little more than I can chew. And I already am kind of at that place anyway with the podcasts. And that's after having jettisoned a couple. I don't know what the hell I was thinking, man. Why did I have so many dang podcasts?
You didn't have a job. So
no, this is before then, though. This is before I didn't have a job. Actually, when I didn't have the job is when I started cutting podcasts. Because it's like, hey,
yeah, that's true.
I need to actually spend my time productively. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. You need to find a job.
I felt guilty. I don't feel like I can do goof off stuff like that when I don't have a gig. Which I do have now. I'm 4 months in almost. Yeah. So
fingers crossed that lasts.
Yeah. Yeah. I've been visited by Johnny Wyatt a few times myself, you know, so
Bob, I'm going to give you so many secrets and ways to help you that I'm hoping in a couple of years, you're like, you know what? I don't need that W-2 job anymore. You're laughing. I'm not kidding.
No, I'm not laughing at your expertise and your, the validity of your knowledge. It's more, I think I'm more laughing at the likelihood of my successfully executing
said. No, I get it. And I get it. And you're nervous and you're scared. And I'm hoping that by doing this and by talking about it and by going over different parts of it, that it's going to help to alleviate some of that fear and put more knowledge in place where you would feel comfortable taking action. And I'm hoping that the same thing happens for our listeners.
Yeah, I hope so as well. I think the only concern I would have is, and this may be something to talk about whether now or maybe on one of your podcasts, but housing market, man, it is dog eat dog, hard fights. Do you think you're at an advantage because of the types of properties that you're seeking, like distressed properties, whether it be the condition or people really needing to pull the ripcord and before that's they absolutely, get foreclosed?
That's absolutely it. Because like you just talked about, and this could be an entire podcast, but I'll give you a quick synopsis here. It doesn't matter what state the real estate market is in. It doesn't matter whether it's a buyer's market or a seller's market. It doesn't matter if interest rates are high. It doesn't matter if inflation is rampant. It doesn't matter if the economy is going into the tank. Why? Because we're not talking about buying a home at market value. We're not talking about engaging a realtor and buying a home for what it's listed for on the MLS, the multiple listing service. We're not doing that. Our goal is to find and buy homes that are below market value where there is an opportunity for a profit. Doesn't matter what the market value is. It doesn't matter what the current market is, because we're trying to buy it below that so that there is the room for profit. So it doesn't matter what the state of the economy is. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. And that's a very interesting perspective I wouldn't have thought of. And this was not a staged interaction here. This was the actual kind of, enlightened yet seeming dumbass questions that I'm going to bring to the
podcast. Perfect question. No, it's the perfect question. And I hope that the answer made sense. And so because that's legitimately it. We're not trying to buy a home at market value to make money off of. Our whole goal, our whole purpose is to buy homes below market value, regardless of whatever quote unquote market is.
See, aren't you glad I didn't remember to record that last? See, now we actually had, like you even said, Melanie's like, oh, you guys got to tighten up. You're just talking in circles. Now we actually, we have tightened it up, I think.
Giving little nuggets away right
full
there.
Full Archie Bell.
Listen, gang, that's the kind of knowledge you can expect on Great Flipping Pod right there.
That's great.
By the way, Bob, you need to go out and get Great Flipping Pod right now. I don't want to do that. You're the producer here. Produce the shit.
You mean like the website or?
Yeah. No, well, I mean, you need to go get the Instagram for at the very least.
Oh, yeah. I thought you already had it.
I have Great Flipping Day. You want Great Flipping Pod. And
Yes. Right.
Yeah. I need you to produce here. All right. You're the producer. I need you to produce.
you have an email address? Do you have? We're going to have to create David Great Flipping Pod.
Well, I've got David at Great Flipping Day because greatflippingday.com is my, is the website where I'm trying to build a brand. So for me on Instagram, you can find me at Great Flipping Day. There's no G at the end of flipping. It's just flipping, like an apostrophe would be there. Greatflippingday.com. Great Flipping Day on Instagram. I've got a TikTok. I've got a Twitter. I haven't been putting anything on TikTok. I haven't been putting anything on Twitter. I do have a Facebook, but I also have the website. You can go to greatflippingday.com right now and see more about the business and learn more about what we do.
Do you have an OnlyFans?
Coming soon. Okay. When you're able to start putting some content on there.
I think if you went to the Great Flipping Day OnlyFans, the type of flipping you'd see on there is a little bit different than the type of flipping we're talking about.
Okay. All right. Flip it for the biscuit. I don't know. but yeah, I mean, we've got all that. And I think more to come from us. You're not going to get rid of us that easily, DFW and the world.
No. We're just transitioning, so to speak. By the way,
yeah, back
Bellarmine
to that.
Is eating on the air.
Why do you got to call me out on that? I know I was silent. And I took
when you listen to this episode, you're going to hear all that cud chewing that was going on.
What are you talking about? Well, you know what? Sorry, gang. I apologize. Bob somehow didn't record the first episode and I got really hungry. And so for episode 21, I wanted to bring you what it sounded like while I was eating on the air.
Yeah. When I failed to record that first episode, your first thought was, how will I feed? And then you immediately realized that I must still ahead and do that.
That's
now.
Exactly true. That's great.
By the way, I know we touched on it in the episode that we didn't record, but this will also bring a screeching halt to all of the ticket shtick because you're wanting to be bad. You're nationwide, right?
Like, yeah. I mean, we'll definitely try to push this for a nationwide thing. So it is not going to be DFW centric. Not going to be sports centric. And I don't think we'll be able to do invitation or exactly. It's going to be really difficult. It's going to be really difficult because you and I are talking and when we're getting together, we're ticket fans. And so it's very difficult for us to not have that kind of shtick in there. So that is going to be difficult.
Part of the flipping is going to have to be flipping our personalities to a little bit more of a professional, nationally appealing type of a situation.
Well, yeah, I did say that I needed the 8-to-5 Bob, not the 5-to-8 Bob.
Yeah, very true. Very true. You really don't want either, but if you have to have one.
I do want you, Bob. Let's be clear. I do. It's why I asked you in the first place.
It's really more lack of options than anything else, but I'll take it all the same.
Yeah. Well, like I said, I think you're going to be a good foil for me and I'm looking forward to it.
As am I. This will be a very educational, informative, and intriguing journey into the world.
I'm hoping that we can get this rolling out starting pretty soon. We'll talk more about that offline, but I think we can get some plans going.
Coming this summer.
But for
I think we are safe to say coming this summer.
Coming this summer. But for all the fans of Plausible Deniability that will no longer be hearing us talk about different topics every month, almost regularly, until Bob got tired of it. We thank you. We thank you for your support.
Yes.
Thank you for your generosity.
Yes. There were some very generous. We had some patrons. We had...
thanks, Shan.
Yes. Yes. It was very, very kind that folks listened and contributed, and it's going to miss it. I'm going to miss it a little. I'm getting choked up, but it's not an emotional thing.
Buddy.
It's just a little bit of residual allergy stuff there, but
wow,
we're good.
All right. All I can say is thanks to everyone, and take it away, Ramblin' Roy. This is Ramblin' Roy Miller reminding you to keep it country, and so long for now.
Plausible Deniability is a production of Lukewarm Tallboy Studios.
Oh, Mike.